Praise the Lord. Thank you, and please be seated. Well, good morning and blessings to you all, and peace be multiplied. I pray that all of you are doing well. I'd like to welcome you to our Sunday service here at Calvary Chapel Kaneohe. For those of you visiting for the first time, we welcome you with aloha. And we're so thankful that you are here and pray that you will be blessed by the fellowship, the time you spend here, and the Word of God that will be presented this morning. I do want to remind everyone about our next prayer meeting. It will be here in the sanctuary on January the 9th at 7 p.m. And if you are able to come out and pray with us as a corporate body, please do so. We need as much prayer as we can get. And I pray that you are praying every single day, as often as the Lord places it upon your heart to do so. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I hope you're praying. That's a challenge for all of us. We need to be praying. So please consider coming if you're able. And if not, at the time when we're having it, pray in the Spirit with us. Let's get to it. Well, New Year's Eve, Happy New Year. I pray that all of us will be able to see it come in tomorrow. I'm asleep, but you know what I mean. That we'll wake up on the right side of the dirt, and you know what I'm saying? But no, Happy New Year, and prayerfully that we'll look forward. Only take lessons that we can learn from yesterday that could propel us forward. So again, Happy New Year, and I'll pray that you have a wonderful evening. All right. On Sundays, we have two services. The first service is normally dedicated to the prophecy update, and the second service to the sermon. But for today, we will be conducting two topical teachings. And for this first teaching, I would ask that you join me in the book of Romans in chapter 12. I would also ask all who are able, please stand for the reading of this one scripture, verse 2, this morning, followed by a word of prayer. Again, we are in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and the famous verse 2. As the Word of God reads, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Why don't we pray and ask for the blessing from the Lord on this teaching this morning. Father in heaven, as only you can, meet us here, Lord. We thank you for your presence. In advance, we thank you for the victory that you will give us by hearing this message that you have prepared for us. So would you open our ears, and more importantly, our hearts, to receive your words of truth, that we may be better stewards of your word as we go forth into this world that we must be in for a season. So, Lord, we commit this time to you, and we thank you so much for all that you will do, and may you receive all the honor and glory due your name. We love you and praise you in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. So this morning, our first teaching is titled, "How Minds Are Renewed." And now, it goes without saying that the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, will indeed renew our minds. But what is our active role in all of this? And what does it actually look like? I know for me, I'm the type of person that gets really frustrated when it comes to being told something and only being told in a statement. You follow me? You're just told. You see, I need to know the why behind the what, if that why is able to be known of the Lord. And then not only the why behind the what, but the how behind the why behind the what. Amen. Are you following me? Now, that does not mean that every statement that's made, I have to have it spelled out for me. No, but when it comes to those things that are life-changing, I prefer to have it spelled out. I mean, I don't want to assume, because what I do know is that everything within the scriptures are life-changing. So I want to be like a child. Show me. How do I do that? Give me an example so I can play my part effectively. I'm also the type of person that if I don't get that, I'll be going in the wrong direction. I need that. Maybe none of you do. Someone tells you, bake a cake. Sure, no problem. And poof, there's the cake. I need directions. You know, I have experienced on my own walk that what I thought was the reason why I was doing what I was doing in the name of the Lord would end up being way off, if not completely wrong, because I did not know how. We have to search a matter out. The why, the what, and the how. All of these things are critically linked. And the how becomes the one thing that needs those specifics and a more detailed analysis, at least from my perspective. And I also know that there are many hows, could be many hows, for a certain situation. And like many of you, I'll take as many hows as I can get. And even though this teaching will not be exhaustive, my prayer is that, one, of course, it will be pleasing to the Lord, as well as edifying for all of us. Especially as we head into this new year, we should attempt to look at the Word of God in a new light, because it is alive and active, and we need to take advantage of that. I'm most certain, no matter how old these verses are, we can always learn new life lessons that we should consider and apply. So, with the Lord's permission, we're going to look at how we are to renew our minds based on the scriptures by first addressing what's captured at the beginning of our text. Because if this is not addressed and addressed properly, there is no hope in the renewing of our minds or becoming true disciples. And once we finally get past this point, because we will spend some time on this point, then we'll expound on various passages in the hopes that we are all able to better apply these biblical truths that will ultimately lead us to proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the goal. And with that said, let's tackle the first part of verse 2 of chapter 12 of our text. The word of God first says in this verse, take a look, and do not be conformed to this world. We see that, right? Do not be conformed to this world. And I'm of the belief that nothing else will happen in regards to our minds being renewed until we listen very carefully. Decide. It's a decision. Decide not to be conformed to to this world. In fact, this is the first how our minds are renewed. We have to make this decision. This is the very first step, is to decide within our own minds that we do not want to be conformed to this world. And you know what helps me out? Make this a command. Are you feeling me? Make it a command. Do not be conformed. This is an order to decide, to disconnect our minds from the ways of the world. Also, as we see in this statement or decree or command, we should also ask how that is done. How do we disconnect or deprogram our minds from this world and not be conformed to it? A world that we all have to live in, yet we're told that we must have our minds renewed. How? And yes, of course, it's all by the power of the Holy Spirit. But again, what part do we play in all of this? Well, the fact of the matter is we will never, ever play a part. We won't play our part at all if we have not decided to do so first. I hope you're following me. And before we move on, we need to know what type of conforming that's being talked about here, even if it seems so obvious, because I don't want to assume. Because in the sense of this verse, conformed is being tied to our behavior. So when we put it in context, we clearly see that it means not to behave like the world. Okay? But we also need to be careful here, because this is where many Christians get tripped up and fall victim to legalism and other various commands that become unbiblical burdens. And in the end, what happens to them? They end up being influenced by the world because it's too much to bear. They decide to stay conformed to the world and live out carnal lives. So please understand, this is not about legalism. This is ultimately about living for God in Christ. Because worldly behavior always goes against the word of God. Our natural makeup is worldly. And I hope we see that. We are mostly shaped by this world. And the truth of the matter is that we're always being passively conformed by the world, when we need to be actively conformed by the word. You see the difference? We don't have to do anything to be influenced by the world, because it's pounding us every single day. But to not be conformed, we have an action to do. So we have to decide, again, not to conform and be in the Word of God, of course, just so we can know what that looks like. But there's another point to make here in regards to the word world in our text. Because the word world used here is actually the word age, and is defined in this verse as evil age. Now you think about that. That makes a huge impact. Because it speaks to the fact that we have to continuously not be conformed to this world. Throughout the entire evil age that we are living in. In other words, it's not a one-time deal. It's an everyday examination as the world turns. There is nothing new under the sun, but we should know that evil continues to shift its ways to deceive. Do we see this regarding this evil age? This also shows that this deciding is a process. It will take time. We have to live this out. And for me, this needs to be more than understood by all of us, but especially for those of us, and when we first come to Christ, this is critical to understand. Because not being conformed to this world, again, takes a lot of work and a lot of time. But if we want this to be done in our lives, we must do our part and deliberately decide. And then allow all to be done in us by the power of the Holy Spirit in concert with what takes place by having our minds renewed. And when we look at all of this, I hope that we can see the connection that all of this has to discipleship. It's the makings of a disciple all throughout this. Because remember, being saved and being a true disciple are not one in the same. And many Christians have a problem with this. I came to Christ. I'm a disciple. No. Not so fast, partner. That is not the case at all. And I'll tell you what the fact is. When they come to Christ and they think that they're automatically disciples, they live a life all riddled with all kinds of failures because their minds have never been truly renewed. Why? Because they failed to decide to not have their lives conformed to this world. And what they do is they automatically think that they're disciples of Jesus because they got saved, and then that produces this mindset that not conforming to this world and this whole renewal process will be done automatically by the Holy Spirit. That is not how it works. No. And I wish I had known this. But I did not. Notice the lyrics of the song. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, those are some true lyrics right there. First, deciding. Then the following. It doesn't say I've decided to be saved. We should take this to heart. And let's allow the scriptures to show this distinction between being saved and being a saved disciple. Captured here in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 47, the Word of God assures us that salvation can never be lost. Never be lost. As the Word of God reads, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, that's Jesus, has everlasting life. So many scriptures like this. But do you get the point? Salvation can never be lost. We cannot fail at being saved once we are saved. But on the other hand, we can always fail at being a disciple. Captured in the book of Luke, chapter 14 and verse 33, the word of God reads, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Do we see this? Does it say cannot be saved? Do you see this? This is not about salvation. This is about discipleship. Being a disciple is not a walk in the park. We also know that salvation is all about the grace of God. The grace of God. And we see this truth captured here in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, well-known verses 8 and 9, as the word of God reads, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." However, being a disciple is all about works in the Lord, that we will be judged accordingly. And that is all over the scriptures. With this one seen here in the book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 12, the word of God reads, "And behold," Jesus speaking, "I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Are you following me? And I'm going to tell you that God means what he says. And this is about being a disciple. Notice that salvation is because of the finished work on the cross by Christ Jesus. Do you agree with that? Oh, well, good. Praise the Lord. We're getting somewhere here. And we see this truth in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 36. The word of God reads, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." It is finished. There is nothing that we in of ourselves could ever do to add to or take away from the finished work on the cross. Nothing. On the other hand, being a disciple is about bearing our own cross. And we see this captured here in the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. The word of God reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" This is about discipleship. And let's not miss the fact that Jesus also says to come after me. Do we see this? Again, this is that deciding to follow after, to come after Jesus. This is a trait of a disciple. But when it comes to salvation, we are told to simply come to Jesus. And we see this captured in chapter 11, verse 28 of Matthew, as the word of God reads, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is salvation. And again, we know from the scriptures that salvation is a free gift from God. there's nothing that we can do for our salvation but accept the free gift. And we talk about this every Sunday, specifically in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But when it comes to being a disciple, we actually offer ourselves as a gift. And this truth is captured in the chapter that we're in today. Verse 1. The Word of God reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do we see the difference? There's a distinction. And I pray that we do see this. Because being a disciple is a deliberate decision. In fact, we're told by Jesus to count the cost. Not for salvation. Count the cost of being a disciple to follow him. We're told it's not going to be easy. It's about obedience and good godly works. And I truly believe that we must have this understanding as we move forward as Christians. Because once we are saved, we all have to decide to not be conformed to this world in order to be spiritually transformed by the Word of God. This is the beginning of the renewing of our minds. Because this provides the Holy Spirit the elbow room that he needs to come inside and guide us into all truth. You catch that, right? The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. He will not force us into all truth. We still have a will of our own and this flesh to deal with, where no good thing dwells. Again, honestly ask ourselves, have we truly decided not to be conformed to this world? We have to ask ourselves and think about it. Could it be the reason why we have not grown spiritually is because we're latched onto the world and expecting the Holy Spirit to say, I got it from here. You're saved now. I'm going to transform you into a disciple of disciples. Just sit back. I've got it. That's how a lot of us act. And it's a major problem. And let me put this out there too. There are disciples of Jesus, believe it or not, that are not saved. What? You confused? Ask Judas. Oh, you can't. There are people that do nothing but works. Nothing. They don't believe. There are people behind the pulpit that do the same thing for filthy lucre's sake. There are people that teach in colleges, theological seminaries, that don't believe in Jesus. They're all Judases. And at the end, they'll hang like them. And now, as we move past this point, we'd all do well to recognize that if we do not decide not to be conformed to this world, at some point, we may be consumed by this world. Captured in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 7 and verse 31, the Word of God reads, and those who use this world as not misusing it, listen to this, for the form of this world is passing away. The form of this world in every area is passing away. And everyone that continues to conform to it will pass away with it. The world consumes. And many Christians fall victim to this. Oh, they're still saved, believe me. They're carnal Christians, but they fall victim to the world because they can't release it. And they pass away with it. It is what it is. And we need to understand this truth. And let's not forget that the age that we're living in is evil. So if we truly understand this, then we can move forward with a proper perspective, as well as the proper expectations for ourselves. Because this renewing of the mind process will be different for all of us, even though at the end of the day, we all will use the same tools. Are we tracking? And now, what are the ways that we can have our minds renewed? And how do we effectively implement and execute those other methods? So we know one, we need to disconnect from the world to begin with, or everything is stifled. So now let's talk about being in the Word of God, where and kind of like how. Now I can say with confidence that just get in the Word. I can say that with confidence. Not, absolutely. Because we don't want to be tied down to some mechanism or regimen only. Then that becomes what you're actually serving and not God. So be very careful about that. But if approached in the right way, with the right heart, having a mechanism and method can be beneficial. God will bless it and He will honor it. And I tell you, here is a method that has worked wonders for me over the years. Wonders. The riches behind it are amazing. I will vouch for this method. As a mind renewal process, no matter where we are in our walk with God. So what is it? Okay, first, getting up early in the morning, praying, of course, and then reading and, listen, meditating on the proverb of that day. The riches behind this, meditating on the word, mind altering beyond the natural senses, because the word of God is supernatural. Let's just practically, right? So you, today's the 31st, we know it, tabbed out to the 31st, here we go. So I've said my prayer, my heart's postured, and I'm like, Lord, I just need you to open up the word to me. Begin reading. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. I stop and I ask myself, is there anything in this verse that I don't understand? Is there something about this verse that I can meditate on? Let me think. Who is King Lemuel? Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not certain. But I do see L at the end of this. It has something to do with God. What does Lemuel mean? Look it up. Devoted to God. I stop. And I'm back praying. Father in heaven, I want Lemuel. I want to be Lemuel, devoted to you. This is meditating on God's word. Why would he not honor that? Is it for my good? Check. Is it for his glory? Check. Meditation. It's amazing. Sometimes I can't even make it past one verse. Because of that. We should take heed to what's written in the book of Joshua, in chapter 1 and verse 8, as the word of God reads. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Do we see this? Why is this? Because not only is the word to be meditated on, it is to be acted out. And why will it be acted out? Because it's being meditated on. It's very simple. Input creates the desired output. If the input's good, the output should be good. So long as the input does not have to compete with another input channel. Are we tracking? So regarding spiritual matters, this is why we cannot afford to have our lives conformed to this world. That is a secondary input channel. Do we see what happens? That will make the word of God to no effect. And yes, the word of God does not return void, but understand this. There are ways that the world will indeed void it out. You best believe that. You could read all day long, have you a 15-step how to be a disciple program, all you want to. All of it. If you're still receiving an input from the world, mostly, that data would be overwritten. And then you wonder why you're not growing. And we sit confused and upset and angry at God. How come you haven't changed everything? If we are like this, receiving those two inputs, what ends up happening is we'll take two steps forward in the Lord and 10 steps backwards because of the world. Why? Because we're not Lemuel. No, we're Lemuel world. Right? Facts. That's what happens. And our walk is stifled. And we produce little to no fruit at all. Well, good fruit. The other fruit we probably have buckets of. Let's take one more passage on meditating on God's word. Captured here in the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verses actually 15 and 16, as the word of God reads. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Here is this anonymous psalm with a very distinctive message. And we find this message about meditating on the word of God throughout the scriptures, as you know, for a reason. And notice that the writer here says, I will not forget your word. Now, how long would this writer have to meditate on the word of God in order not to forget it? Have we thought about that? To me, that takes some dedication, a deliberate act. And that's the only way that our minds can be truly renewed. Lots of it. Daily, by the way. In fact, the very first psalm King David would write by the Spirit about meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. Do you hear me? King David. Meditating. day and night on the law of the Lord. And what should be sobering about all this is at the age of about 50, he would have Uriah the Hittite killed. Right? What about Solomon? And his writings. The wisest man. And then he would fall to idolatry. I mean, I mentioned that, so we're guarded. And they were after the Lord. So what does that say about us? We often talk about being in the Word of God more than being in the Word of God. And that's a problem. So, how else do we expect to have our minds renewed? By changing and controlling our thinking. The Bible basically tells us that we are what we think. This is captured in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, the first part of verse 7, as the Word of God reads, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, we've talked about the link between the heart and the mind, right? In fact, I think before I said that it's only separated by distance. But this is huge for us to understand. And it could be argued that it's the key when it comes to our mind renewal. The way that we think. What thoughts automatically are generated and why are we thinking them in the first place? And you know there's no shortages of doctors and scientists and all kinds of peoples that mess around with the brain out there just telling you all kinds of stuff. They spend their lives on this, the mind. Without us getting too invested, I think it would be very helpful if we just looked at one aspect of what's associated with all of this, and that's in regards to our subconscious mind and how we can arrest those negative subconscious thoughts before they become part of our thinking. Are you following so far? Which leads to how we feel. And then that leads to our emotional state. And then that leads to what we believe. And that leads to how we will respond. And then that leads to our overall character. And that's what we become, either in that one area or all across the board. So we need to get these thoughts before they get to us. And the how we do this is by dealing with these thoughts as soon as they come. Don't suppress them. Arrest them. Do not suppress these thoughts. Because you give the enemy latitude to come in there and start working it. Since you only suppressed it instead of arresting it, locking it away and dealing with it. No. And now he's in there doing stuff, the minions all on your shoulder. Just telling you this, that, and the third. And now, later on down the line, all you are thinking about is that thought that you suppressed. No longer is it suppressed. Now it's in your mind as a mess. Just running rampant. So, you know what happens when the mind is left to itself. Huh? I'm sorry, because we know what's up in this joint, man. It can just go all over the place. And in the world today, we see that clearly. You can see what happens to unchecked thoughts. It allows them to usher in all kinds of false realities. Because the world, they have nothing to base their reality on. That's why there's an explosion regarding so many fundamental truths, just denying them. Denying them. Which includes this gender identity debacle. This is a mess. So now they have no reality, whatever a man thinketh, right? That's what he, Zer, they, them are. But that's what they believe. And we cannot allow this to happen to us as Christians in any capacity. And when the Bible tells us to take every thought captive, that is just not our thoughts. Do you understand that? That is every thought that goes up against the knowledge of God. Question, does this go up against the knowledge of God? Take it captive and bring it into the obedience of Christ. A disciple will do this. We have the authority of God's word. And in love, we should be doing this. So ask yourself, are you a disciple? All of this is negative thinking because it goes against the mind of God. And for that reason alone, it should all be arrested. Again, we as Christians, we have to arrest our own thoughts as well. And the how behind that is to deal with the lie that is contained within them. Deal with the lie that's contained in the thought. That negative thought comes, there's a lie in there. Because God is good, there's nothing negative about him. Nothing. So when it pops up, wait a minute, I need to deal with the lie inside there. And you do that by taking that thought and balancing with the scriptures and show the truth against the lie. And that thought has to flee. But do you know where to find it in the scriptures? Or when the lie comes, there's no scripture and the lie takes over. Do we see what's happening here? We have to challenge it utilizing the word of God. We need to refute that lie just like Jesus did. Use the word. And not just point to it, but by faith, believe in it. Are you following me? And when our faith is lacking, we need to all call out to the Lord and ask him to help our unbelief. Have we done that? Lord, help my unbelief. This was one of the main points of the account regarding the boy that was healed with that unclean spirit. You remember the account, right? The disciples tried to cast it out, but they were unsuccessful. So Jesus would speak to the Father. And during that exchange, Jesus would say to the Father that if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And I want us to take a look at verses 24 and 25 captured in Mark chapter 9. Now remember, Jesus just says this to the Father. You there with me? Jesus just says this to the Father. All things are possible to him who believes. Now the word of God reads, immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, I want you to think about the scene here and how that must have looked. Because in verse 25, it says, when Jesus saw that the people came running, why did they come running? Why do you think they came running? This man was yelling. They heard the commotion, in my opinion. He says this. He cried out with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." So they come running. Jesus, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Jesus reacted to the request of the father, who believed but needed the Lord to aid in that area where his faith was lacking. What do we say about that? Could this be our problem in renewing our mind? We believe, but we have an area of unbelief that we need the Lord to fill in for us. Call on him. And we may have to do this over and over again, because that dumb spirit for us may come back into the mind. It's back. Call again. Until it's told not to enter anymore. I find it also interesting that when the people saw that spirit was cast out, they thought this boy was dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him, and raised him up. Oh, how true are those words? Are we tracking now? That's the same for each and every one of us in Christ Jesus. And we see this truth captured in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, as the Word of God reads, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." Now, when we read this today, it probably does not have the impact like it did for those in Colossae. They were dealing with all kinds of religions and all kinds of superstition, lots of evil practices, all of them earthly. And now Christ has come and given us the blueprint to eternal life. What a game changer. So they were told to have a heart for God and a mind for God. We are too. A heart for his holiness and have a mind for his power. A heart for his righteousness and a mind for his glory. A heart for his heart and have a mind for his will. And have a heart for his love and a mind for his kingdom. That's thinking above. That's what that is. And all of it comes by seeking and setting. And if we do this, this will keep our minds occupied with goodness, as well as building up those barriers to stop the evil from within, those subconscious thoughts from ever getting anywhere without being arrested. And I hope we see this. And now with our minds cleared up a bit, we should be able to actively pursue those scriptures that are designed to keep us thinking on a heavenly mindset. And so what we're witnessing is a progression. Just an approach. And there are many out there. But I pray that we can all use something like this to aid us in our walk and discipleship as our minds are being renewed. From my perspective, we need to have our minds clear as possible in order to effectively act out, carry out verses, or the main verse that's captured in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know it well, as the Word of God reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." You see how it comes? Now we have this charge to meditate on things that we may see every day. But we have to know the difference. Are these whatever things in this list something that's going to meet the requirement? And the only way to know that is by understanding God's character. Whatever things are, right? How do you know it's lovely? How do you know it's praiseworthy? We need to know. And we can know that by God's word. Everything we do must be measured by his word. Everything we think must be measured by his word. And if we truly want our minds renewed, this is what we must consider and also be willing to commit to it. Catch that? Decide. That is the renewing of the mind. That's how it goes. And it goes against all the logic in the world, by the way. You hear me? The scientists say that between the age 25 and 30, your mind has reached its peak learning ability. See that? See what they do? And then they'll come back, well, we're just saying, you know, the brain's fully developed here. And it's funny because the people that make that comment are in their 50s and 60s mostly. They write volumes on this. I'll tell you this. You never really start learning until you start seeking God and having a mind of God. That's when the learning process starts. And it happens at any age. And it never stops. So don't let these scientists and all of them clowns say anything about the mind that goes against the word of God. Again, they're going up against the knowledge of God, the giver of knowledge. And they would do well to come and understand the character of the Lord. All of what we're talking about that the scientists look at is in stark contrast to what the Word of God speaks to. You and I know this. And we can see this captured in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. As we close out, the Word of God reads, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." This makes no sense to science. And it shouldn't. But it makes perfect sense to us because we know the God of science. Now, too often, though, we do slow our renewal process down by not deciding to not be conformed to this world. And you know what that does to the outward man? It expedites that process. Are you feeling me? The bottom line is, if we want to be renewed and transformed, we must make the decision. We have to make that decision. We need to pray and meditate on the Word of God. Seek the Lord and his kingdom daily. Arrest our negative thoughts immediately. Call out to the Lord in our unbelief. And repeat the process over and over again until we are fully subdued to Christ. Now, doing all of this will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do we see this? I pray that we do, because that's all we have right now. Please stand and let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you so much for being who you are. We love you. We know that you're going to go and take your words of truth and just seal them to our hearts so we can go out and be convicted in that loving way as only you can, and to have our minds renewed and our lives renewed because of our minds being renewed, and look at you in a different light, a more glorious light, so we can serve you all the more. So Father, would you bless us with that opportunity? We really desire it. So place it upon our hearts. We love you and thank you for what you've done and will continue to do in and throughout our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, through Christ, we do pray. Amen.